This is a book called Nilachale Brajamadhuri. I'm not sure of the author, but it's an excerpt describing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Ras Lila. It's called Shishi Maharas. On a full moon night, Ashwin Purnima Maharas, Mahaprabhu went to the Gundicha garden. See, this book is called Nilachale Brajamadhuri. Nilachale means Nilachala Dham, which is Vipralamba Kshetra, Sri Kshetra, Jagannath Puri, which is sometimes called Shank Kshetra, because the configuration taking Jagannath Puri, then Bhuvaneshwar, which is the entrance, and then Chilka Lake, this whole configuration, these points drawn together, makes the shape of a conch shell. It's called Kshetra, Sri Kshetra Dham, the holy abode of Radharani, where Radharani's love makes Krishna go crazy, basically. And it's called Nilachala Dham. Achala means mountain, Nila means blue. For some reason there was maybe some dark trees on those mountains. But this is about the Sannyas Lila, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in Gundicha is where the Rath Yatra comes every year. They bring the carts from the temple represents Kurukshetra or Dwarka. So they're bringing Krishna and his brother, Jagannath Ji, Vrajendranandan, and Shamsundara, Balaram, Dalji Ji, and Subhadra, Krishna's stepsister. Subhadra is the daughter of Rohini and Vasudev. Subhadra is born in Mathura. Krishna's sister is Yogamaya. She's born in Gokul. She's the daughter of Yashoda. So they're two different personalities. So you can say Subhadra is his stepsister from Mathura's side, and she later went to Dwarka. She appeared in Dwarka and Mathura, and then later she moved to Dwarka. And she married Arjun and had a son named Abhimanyu. So in this Gundicha garden represents Vrindavan, the kunjas and forests of Vrindavan, and Lord Chaitanya would often wander there, not only during Rath Yatra time, but other times he'd enter the garden of Gundicha. Even today it's very beautiful. There's a temple there situated in the middle, and there's many palm trees, and it's very much a forest kunja area there. So he entered the Gundicha garden with some of his intimate associates. The sylvan sweetness of Gundicha garden naturally inspired Mahaprabhu's remembrance of Sri Vrindavan. The tender beauty of the natural environment of extensive blue vines and trees remained in this large Gundicha garden as its eternal treasure. It's impossible to know who made this garden of Gundicha and when, but presently it looks like a natural forest. The trees grow naturally without any external support, extending dense foliage in all directions, as if arrogantly challenging the sky. There are betel trees, date palm, coconut trees, palasha trees, priyala, mango, panasa. They're standing here and there at random, and some trees are in rows. There's fig trees, ashwat, banyan trees, are very, very old. Most of Gundicha is filled and beautified with vines surrounding the roots of trees that stand very close together. There's many beautiful trees, Saptaparni, Bilva, Arka, Jambu, Bokul, Kadamba, Nipa, Neem, and many other trees in this evergreen, lush garden of Nilachala. And when the devotees see this in their hearts, they remember the sweetness of Braja's forest. The abundant flowering trees and vines increase the beauty of this forest 100 times. Some trees are sprouting fresh, fragrant buds, soft buds or blossoming flowers, and all the trees and vines look very beautiful. In different places, there are beautiful clusters of tulsi trees, tender and holy, and creating a treasure-like atmosphere. The tree abodes are the images of the sacred hermitages of India's ever-glorious holy men. Mahaprabhu took his intimate associates, and he entered this tree-filled abode, and he went to a corner, a solitary corner of the garden. There were tulsi gardens on all sides, and different trees of tamal and bakul. Mahaprabhu sat at the base of a bakul tree, and he told Ram Roy, means Ramananda Roy, "I would like you to narrate some Ras Leela, but am I qualified to hear Ras Leela? Such qualification only arises as a result of many austerities. How many austerities I cannot count. But not all austerities will give one access to understanding Ras Leela." Mahaprabhu said, "Unless one's heart is pure, satisfied, tender and radiant through the loving worship of the Lord, the desire to hear Ras Leela is simply a mockery. What am I? I am simply a dry renunciate, a sannyasi. I am not really qualified. But yet, despite all my disqualification, I have a great longing to hear the Ras Leela. There is no place where where desire cannot go." Nice phrase. "There is no place where desire cannot go. Desire can go in all directions, all phases of time, past, present, future, all directions, all countries. Can I attain qualification for this?" Mahaprabhu asked. Ramananda Roy replied, "Prabhu, is the glory of the servant increased by this? This fallen sense enjoyer is the unqualified servant of your lotus feet. These truths that you're inquiring about are actually hidden to him. This is a mere deception. Perhaps your talk on humility and qualification are merely a pretext to teach the people at large." Mahaprabhu replied, "Sarup, Prema Maya Shyam Sundar has revealed this wonderful pastime in the flowering arbors of Vrindavan to fulfill his desire to enjoy with the young ladies of Vrindavan. How captivating is this great meeting of these beloveds. What a great wave and a deluge of delight. Can anyone stay calm and not dance in ecstasy, Sarup? The Ras Leela is a great, grand festival full of dance. It is a high tidal wave in a boundless, unfathomless ocean of ecstasy. This indescribable ecstasy cannot be understood or described in any number of words. However, you, Ramananda, must find a way to make me relish even one drop of this ecstasy, and by this I will become eternally indebted to you." Ramananda laughed. "What should I say? Please take shelter, Prabhu, please take shelter of my throat and tell me. The instrument plays the way its player moves it. Where is the fear in this action? Murajiva vina yantra tumi vina dhari tamara moni jaha udetahai uchari." In other words, the instrument only moves according to the musician. So Ramananda Roy is saying, "I am the instrument, Prabhu, and you are the musician. Prabhu, my tongue is the vina, and you are the player of that vina. Whatever arises in your mind, whatever arises in your mind, that I will vibrate." Mahaprabhu. "When the damsels of Braj hear Shyam's flute, they become agitated and run into the forest to have darshan of their beloved Shyam." "What did you say?" Ram Rai? Ram Rai. Yes, Prabhu. The flute is the messenger. It's the personal messenger of Krishna. Can anyone remain calm when Shama Sundar resounds his enticing flute? What is the effect of that flute? Stones melt. The Yamuna flows backwards. Trees and vines sport goosebumps. And animals and birds of the forest, even they become attracted and run to lick the lotus feet of Krishna. The course of the sun and moon and stars is stopped, and the entire universe reverberates with the sweet sound of Krishna's captivating flute. Mahaprabhu, how can the beloved damsels of Braj remain still when they hear its sound? Ram Roy, yes, Prabhu. Even when no one in this universe can hear the sound of Krishna's flute, still they become moved by it. These gopis, Rajabadu, they are housewives under a strict vow to remain calm at home. But when they hear Shyam's flute, it is impossible for them to uphold this vow, Sativrata. As Mahaprabhu talked with Ramananda Roy, I and Atmaram remained hiding like a thief in a kunj. And as I overheard their conversation, I remembered a few more wonderful songs. With a very gentle voice, I began to sing. Agoshono ke bajai, Agoshono ke bajai, Banapulir maruganda, Vamshirtane mishejai, Adarachuye vamshikani, Churi kori hashikani, Bandur hasi maduragani, Praner pane bese jai, Ogo shono ke bajai, Ogo shono ke bajai, Kunja baner brahmar buji, Bamshir maje gunjare, Bakukoli akul hoye, Bamshir gane munjare, Yamonari kalatana, Kane ase kande pran, Yamonari kalatana, Kane ase kande pran, Akashayai madura vadu, Kahar pane hase chai, Ogo shono ke bajai, Ogo shono ke bajai. Oh, listen, do you hear the sound? Who is playing that flute? This dulcet sound of the flute mixes with the honey fragrance of the sylvan forest flowers. His lips touch the flute which steals his smile. When the life airs drink the sweet songs and smiles of my friend, they float away. Oh, listen, who is playing? I understand that the bees and the kunjas are humming along with the sound of that flute. The buds of the bokul trees are becoming agitated, and they begin to blossom upon hearing that sweet flute song. When the song of this flute enters the ears of the Yamuna, her heart begins to tremble and she weeps through the waves on her surface. At whose glances is the sweet moon in the sky now smiling? Oh, listen, who is playing? I thought that Sarup would call me closer if he heard my song. Nothing of it. I did not get a reaction from anyone. Again, I thought, perhaps they did not like my song. Hence, I sang another one. Baji lokahar vamchi madura sware Amarani britta nava jivana pore Prabhata kamala sama putilori doe mama Prabhata kamala sama putilori doe mama Karduti nirupama charana tare Karduti nirupama charana tare Vese utte sabha shobha sabha madhuri Palake palakehya pulake puri koter hote samiran ane navajagaran paranera avarana mochana kore bajilo karavamshi madura swade lage buke suke duke koto je ghata kemone bujabe koto na jani kota amarava sanaji jibuvani ute raji amarava sanaji jibuvani ute raji kampe nadi vanna raji vedana bore Bajilo kaharvamshi madura sware. Whose flute resounded so sweetly, thereupon inciting intimacy within my heart? My heart blossomed like a morning lotus. Whose matchless feet are these? All of this beauty and sweetness suddenly emerges, and my heart becomes submerged, and I begin to tremble at every moment. From where the breeze brings a new wakefulness, uncovering the depths of my heart. Whose flute is resounding so sweetly there? Oh, so much pain it's causing. Happiness and distress are simultaneously dancing in my heart. How can I explain this? I don't know how to express my feelings. Today, such desires are rising in the three worlds, and the forests and rivers are trembling in anguish. Whose flute is singing so sweetly? After singing the song, I fell silent. Again, I got no response. How could not even any living entity register a response in this vine grove? Not even a drop of the sweet song I heard could reach my ear holes. I thought they were absorbed in the mellows of my song. Becoming encouraged, I sang another song. Morilo, 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 mori. Amaravam shite deke cheke. Beve chilam gare robo. Kota jabo na. Aije bahire bajilo vamshi bolo ki kori suneche kon kunja vani yamuna tire saje bele baje vamshi dire samire ogoto rajanas jari pata bole de amai vamshi te deke cheke Dekhi go tara mukher hasi, fuler mala poriye asi, bole asi tomara vamshi, amara prane bejeche. I'm dying, who has called me, who has called me with this flute? I thought of remaining at home, and I would not go out, but now what can I do? This flute is resounding outside. I heard this flute resounding in an arbor along the bank of the Yamuna. It was carried along to my ears by a gentle breeze, Dira Shamir. As I was putting on my makeup, oh, you will know it if you show me the way. Who has called me with this flute? Oh, I see the smile on his face. I will go offer him a flower garland. And I will tell him that I have come to him because of the sound of this flute. I have been captivated and carried here by the waves of this sweet flute. This sound is vibrating in my heart. That's the translation of that song. What? All is completely quiet? No one has called me? A few minutes later, I thought, the words of this song of mine are certainly not made of the material of that kingdom. Thus, I understand that my song is not capable of attaining that realm. Thus, I could not make my Prananath hear the song of this flute. But alas, what did I do? I did not hear about this ambrosial rasa dance because I went to play this flute. My mind is filled with great regret. Let me peek in. No one anywhere. What an offense. I sat down quietly under a tree and I started chanting japa of the holy names of Sri Gauranga to attain his forgiveness. After a while, I saw the sweet rays of the golden Gora moon through the corners of my closed eyes. When I looked very clearly, I saw that everyone was there and that Katha was going on, Hari Katha was going on as before. Swarup Damodar was singing a song of Chandidas, indicating the glories of the flute. Shamare bam shari dupori da kati sabarasa hari nilo hiyada gadagi parana pagali kenova emati koilo emati je baba na bujita hara piriti tahara sane gopata koriya keno narakilo Bekata kori lo kene kahit e shute anaikite badira kori lo vamshi. Sabapari hari kori lo bori manaye yoi monadasi kulera karama dai raja dharama sarama marama pansi chandidasa banne se Ese karne kanasarva savamshi. The sweet song of Shyam's flute took everything away from me. My heart began to palpitate and my life airs went crazy. Why did he do that? In this way, I don't know in what mood I love him. Why has Shyam not kept it hidden? Why did he reveal it? I think of nothing else, either while eating or sleeping. The flute has deafened me, taking everything away from me and making me mad, considering me a mere maidservant. This flute sound is strangling my family duties, my patience, virtue, welfare, and feelings. Chandidas says, all this is caused by Krishna's flute. Mahaprabhu became absorbed in Swarup Damodar's sweet song. His forehead was studded with beads of sweat, and his face was blossoming with joy. Ramananda Roy subtly observed the scene, and he told Swarup Damodar in a soft voice, "Look, Prabhu has opened his eyes, but he's bereft of external sense. Look closely." Mahaprabhu's face occasionally lights up with Kila Kinshit Bhavas. I think that the Lord is totally overwhelmed by relishing the mellows of the rasa dance. Aha! No one can express this rasa through words. It is simply a topic of relish. And that relish is just like the relish of it. It's impossible to describe. From all sides of the great ocean of bliss, rivers of bliss are meeting within this great dance of joy, making high, cascading waves, and everyone thinks that this great ocean is mine. The Lord is absorbed in relishing the nectar of the Rasalila. Listen, Swarup, I've never seen Mahaprabhu's face in such a blissful, blossoming state. How radiant! How sweet, how incredibly blissful he looks. Then Swarup Damodar replied to Rai Ramananda, I thought about singing a song about the meeting of Radha and Shyam in the rasa dance, but it's all in vain. Seeing the mood washing over the face of the beautiful face of the Lord, the words of the song became stunned in my throat and could not come out. The Lord is now absorbed in experiencing his own inner bliss. And why should our ecstasy be less? we have attained the privilege of beholding the mellows of the ras on the Lord's divine countenance. As long as we are fortunate, we can perceive this wonderful, sweet, transcendental phenomenon. Saying this, Swarup Damodar and Rai Ramananda observed the unlimited bliss on the face of Sri Gaurasundara for a long time, just like the meditation of a great yogi. 1.5 hour, one danda after another passed. Danda is 24 minutes period of time. The night was almost over. Slowly, very slowly, Mahaprabhu returned to external consciousness. Then in a very anxious mood, he said, "Swarup, where have you taken me? Should you have awoken me from such ecstatic ecstasy, or unlimited ecstasy? How much beauty and sweetness and bliss there was in the meeting and dancing of Radha and Shyamala's rasa dance. Innumerable forms of bliss came from all directions to surround Shyamasundara. But such is the prowess of Shyam, that he stood in innumerable forms as there were gopis. Each and every girl of Braj got to have Shyamasundara at her side and got to meet with him. The rasa dance began with a tidal wave of ecstasy, like a fresh rain cloud within a lightning strike. How sweet, beautiful, and captivating. What can I say? What more can I say?" Saying this, Mahaprabhu's voice became stunned. He suddenly stood up in a frenzy and started pulling Swarup Damodar with one hand and pulling at Rai Ramananda with another, keeping himself in between the two. Surrounded on all sides by his most intimate associates, Mahaprabhu started chanting, "Jai Jai Gopi Janavallabha, Jai Jai Gopi Janavallabha, Jai Jai Gopi Janavallabha," surging in bliss, and he began dancing in various artful poses. As I beheld all of this in my meditation, I became overwhelmed and fell into a swoon at the base of a tree. When I returned to external consciousness, I saw that there was nothing and no one was there. Everyone had disappeared. Slowly I returned to the Gambhira, and there, in the privacy of the Gambhira, I saw the Lord Mahaprabhu. In the middle of the room, he was weeping and weeping. He was greatly agitated in an intense state of separation. And he was surrounded by Sripad, Swarup Damodar, and Rai Ramananda. Jaya Jaya Radhe, Jaya Jaya Shyam, Jaya Jaya Sri Vrindavindam, Jaya Jaya Radhe, Jaya Jaya Shyam, Jai Jai Sri Vrindavindam, Bhavana Radhe Te Ronam, Bhavana Sri Vrindavindam, Bhavana Radhe Te Ronam, Bhavana Sri Vrindavindam. So that small excerpt I read from this unpublished book, Neelachale Brajamaduri, that's all there is. So by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, generally the Gaudiya Vaishnava Acharyas say that one should approach Radha and Krishna's intimate pastimes through the lotus feet and mercy of Gaura Nithai, Lord Chaitanya. And the technical terms, they call this Gaura Chandrika. Gaura Chandrika. Chandrika means a moonbeam. Chandrika. And which is, the moonbeam is like an invitation to the moon. The Chandrika may be coming through the window screen of your bedroom, and those light rays may be dancing through that screen, and you see them, and you say, "Oh, The full moon is passing over my house, and some pencil rays, Chandrika, are filtering through the screen in my room. They're inviting me. They're not the full moon, they're only a part of the moon, the Chandrika, but they're inviting me to look. They're inviting me, come to the moon, partake of the moon, see the sweet glow of the moon, bathe in the sweet glow of the moon, see the beautiful orb of the moon and the beautiful blue sky or dark sky surrounding it, and come to this side. So the pastimes of Gauranga, especially when he's absorbed in Brajamadhuri, Neelachali Brajamadhuri, which he was doing in Mayapur and also in Puri with his intimate associates, not just any Tom, Dick and Harry, but with his intimate associates, he was relishing the sweetness of Braj, which means all of the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in Braj, Jalkeli, Banbihar, Pashakela, Rasleela, Holi, Ratikeli, and Samlap, Narma Samlap. Narma Samlap means joking conversations. Narma Samlap and Shukashari Sambad. Shukashari Sambad, the conversations between the female and male parrots where they're glorifying the Nam, Rup, Gun, and Leela of Radha and Krishna. And having arguments. The two parrots start having arguments over who's the king, who's the controller of Vrindavan, who's the Ishwar of Vrindavan. And the male parrot, Daksha Vichakshana, Krishna's pet parrot, he says so many verses. Krishna's, he's the Vrindavan Chandra, Vrindavan Ishvara. Then the female parrot, she recites so many Sanskrit verses. She says, no, 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 you don't know what you're talking about. My Radharani is Vrindavan Ishvari. Even Krishna has crowned her as the queen of Vrindavan. And they argue like this in the Kadamba trees above the Kunja where Radha and Krishna are lounging and relaxing in Radhakund during Madhyan Kal. This way they entertain Radha and Krishna, all the Sakis. And sometimes they argue so much they have to fly away and because they you know, that's what they do. They start arguing and they can't glorify anymore because they say, no, yes, no, yes. So all the gopis and Sakis, they laugh. So what happens is Sarup Damodar or Narahari Sakar or Ramananda Roy, they recite poems of Chandidas or Vidyapati or Jagannath Vallabha Natak or the Dasama Skanda, 10th canto of Bhagavatam, or Krishna Karnamrita, or Jayadeva Goswami's Gita Govinda, and various rasa grants, mellow filled scriptures that describe the past, intimate pastimes of Radha and Krishna, and many, many songs and bhajans by the great Padakartas, poets of yore. And when Mahaprabhu hears them, then he relishes, he becomes absorbed. As we are saying about becoming absorbed in the Shastra, he enters there. As I'm telling, okay, now let's go to Udupi. Let's go to Udupi and be with Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu does the same thing. Whether he's reading or whether someone's reading something to him, they're reading Gita Govinda to him about the Vasant Leela at Govardhan. Then he goes to Govardhan. And he enters into that Leela. He remembers that Leela. It's called Bhava Vesh. Avesh. Avesh means like we say Griha Pravesh. Or, you know, this... Pran Pratishtha, Griha Pravesh, Mandir Pravesh means entering. So he enters that Leela through the medium of the poetry. He enters the Leela through the medium of the poetry, Chandidas or Vidyapati or Bhagavatam, Shlokas, by hearing, by reading. And then he goes there and then he becomes Tanmoy, he becomes one with that. So then he experiences all the feelings of Radharani and all. And so then he becomes absorbed in what was described as internal consciousness. It's called Antardasha. Antardasha and Bayadasha. And then there's Arda. Arda Bayadasha. There's three states of consciousness which are described in Chaitanya Charitamrita with these words. Antardasha means to go inside. Go deep into the Leela and absorb yourself in the memory and service of that Leela. Then when one comes to half external consciousness, Arda means half. Arda Baya. Baya means external. Arda Bayadasha. Half external consciousness. Then you're saying, oh, where was I? Oh, we caught you in a fisherman caught you in his net. Oh, was I saying something? Was I? Oh, and then you come to external consciousness. And then when you're in Ardha Baya consciousness, you're kind of awake and say, oh, I was there. I was in Vrindavan. I was in Jalkeli at the Yamuna. Who are you? Why have you brought me here? And you're like, kind of like delirious. And then you come to Vaya Dasha, external consciousness, and then you say, was I saying something? Why is everyone looking at me? Did I say something? Did I go anywhere? No, everything's okay. You were just walking along the beach. We just met you. Everything's fine. So these are the three states. So this Chandrika, Gaur Chandrika, is that these sadhakas, first, because the intimate pastimes of the Lord are very difficult to just jump into. So we need the mercy of Guru Gauranga. Sri Guru Gauranga Vijayata. So the bhajan gurus in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, they say first Gaur Leela, then Krishna Leela. So this Gaur Leela is like the Chandrika, is like the invitation, is like the ray of light coming into our heart. The ray of light coming into our heart, and that ray of light, that beam, moonbeam, that Chandrika, we read the Leela of Gauranga, and he's in Gundicha, or he's in Puri, or he's in Mayapur, not in Vrindavan, in Puri or Mayapur, with his associates. They're all males, but they have their alter identities, or second additional identities as Mandris or Sakis in Vrindavan. So through the mercy, Gaur is remembering Vrindavan, so we remember Gaur remembering Vrindavan. Because Gauranga is so merciful, Patita Pavan Avatar, Namo Mahavara Nyaya. So first we, instead of just, okay, Ras Leela, no, first Holy Leela. First we read about Gauranga's Holy Leela, and Lord Gauranga's Ras Leela, and Shiva Sangam in Mayapur, or in Gundicha, in Puri. And then, and we heard briefly about that, and then we read about Radha and Krishna's pastimes. And this is the Chandrika, but that moonbeam carries us to the moon. Gaurachandra becomes Krishna Chandra. It's like one coin, one side heads and tails. Gaurachandra becomes Krishna Chandra, Krishna Chandra becomes Gaurachandra. It's like this. When Krishna Chandra is absorbing his, relishing his own inner bhavs and ecstasies, it's called Madhurya. Madhurya. When he wants to distribute the light and mellow of his own ecstasies, that's called audarya, magnanimity, distribution. So then he becomes this golden avatar, distribution, relishing. And then he relishes, of course, Radha's bhava, and then he also distributes. So we can now, by the mercy of Guru Granga, for a few minutes, those that are still with us, we can touch a little bit of the Ras Leela, because we're living in Vrindavan, and we're fortunate to be on the banks of Radhakund, and unknown to most people, but Radhakund is also one of the sites of the Rasastali. The Vamshivad is the famous one. Bhagavatam, Dasama Skanda, describes this Rasa dance, Sharad Purnima, on the full moon night of Ashwin. The Rasa dance took place in Yamunapulin, Dir Shamir, Yamunapulin, Govindastali, Brahmakund. All these places are the site of the Rasa dance, thanks to the Yamuna, up to Govindagat and Imli Dal and Sringarbhat. They're all part of the Rasa Leela sites. And that's in this time. But then in springtime, Rasa Leela is in Govardhan. It can be anywhere. And there's the Rasastali, different Rasastalis in Govardhan. There's also a very, very confidential Rasastali on the banks of Radhakund. Exactly where is not told. But this is the occasion for the Bahalastami Snan, which is in a few days, probably 6-7 days at midnight. Because Krishna had invited a very confidential group of gopis, Radharani's gopis only, to come here to Radhakund for a rasa dance at night. The Vishnu Puran has one shloka which is quoted in the BBT edition, chapter 39 or whatever that chapter is, Vatarista Sura. And then it says that Arda Pradosh Kal. Pradosh means 8:36 until 10:48. At that time, at night, this demon Urshtasura entered to this area. It used to be called Arit Gram. This place is called Arit Gram, the old name. Before the Gaudiyas, before 500 years, it was called Arit Gram and some other names. And then he came here to stop that Rasa dance, and of course Krishna vanquished him, killed him, that bull. Then they dug the kuns and he bathed and all these things. So this, and so that was, that rasa dance happened that night, Pahalastami. And on subsequent nights, whenever they felt the desire, they would have rasa dance here. So this is told in the shastras. So we're there, we're at the place where the rasa dance is held. So I thought it was appropriate, since this is the night, full moon night, the full moon night of the Sharad season, the legendary, famous full moon night of the Sharad season, which Prabhupada writes about in the Krishna book. He says there that in the full moon night of the Sharad season is very pleasing. After the heat of the day, usually it's earlier, but because this year was leap year, Adhika Mas, everything got pushed back a month. So this night, this day, now it's end of October, will be the end of September, and September is a very hot month. So Prabhupada says, in the autumn season, it's very hot in the daytime, and when the full moon rises at the end of the day, one feels great relief. And so to dance under the full moon, it's very nice, very much pleasing. But now it was not so hot. And so there's some verses here we can just read for a few minutes. This is Bhavanasara Sangraha. Among the assembled gopis, Achyuta appeared as splendid as the moon surrounded by the stars. He whose activities are so magnanimous made the faces of the gopis blossom with his affectionate glances, broad smiles, and his broad smiles revealed the effulgence of his jasmine bud-like teeth. As the gopis sang the praises of Krishna, that leader of hundreds of women sang loudly in reply. Wearing his Vaijayanti garland, he moved among the gopis, beautifying the forest of Vrindavan. The gopis, that was from Bhagavatam. The gopis, whose slender waists were more charming than that of a lioness, sang about Shyam's spotless qualities with sweet voices. As Shyam fondled the gopis' bodies on the pretext of adorning them with flowers, their desires awoke to enjoy unrestrained amorous pastimes with him in a secluded place. While wandering along, Krishna sometimes sang his own compositions about the moon or the creepers. The sakis then responded by using the same metaphors, but they used them to glorify the love of Radha Madhava. The gopis sang, "The attractive moon in the sky has appeared to give us boundless pleasure. The beauty of the moon delights the enchanting eyes of all charming young ladies, and it removes the feelings of separation felt by his wives, the stars. The moon enlivens the hearts of the night-blooming lotuses." So in this song of the gopis, it's quite obvious that the metaphor here is the moon is who? Krishna, Chandra. And the stars are the gopis. The wives of the moon, the stars are considered to be the wives of the moon. Tara means nakshatra. Nakshatara, the stars are female, some of them. And the moon is generally considered to be male. Chandra, Dev. So this is it. So then he's saying, then the moon, there's a kamudi. The kamudi is a night-blooming white lotus flower. Usually lotus flower generally pink and red and yellow. They blossom, they become praful, blossoming with the full sunlight. And when the sun goes down, they close. But there's the white lotus, Krishnaika kamudi, the white lotus of Krishna. Krishna Anika Komuni. So this white lotus blossoms with the moon, and the daytime is closed, and the noontime it opens. So this moon here, the lotuses are the hearts of the gopis. The moon enlivens the heart of the night-blooming lotuses. Right? It means the moon is enlivening the hearts of the gopis. Shyam and the gopis roamed in the serene and pleasurable forest of Vrindavan. With his playful touch, Shyam thrilled the creepers and his smiling sweethearts. Krishna and the sakis, followed by buzzing bees, soon arrived at a platform beneath the Vamshivat tree. 11:12 p.m. to 1:12 a.m. The rasa dance begins. Are you there? Are you on the banks of the Yamuna, Vamshivat? Krishna sat down with the gopis and gazed upon the meandering Yamuna, who was very happy to see the Lord. Yamuna smiled at Krishna with the foam on the surface, her surface, and she sang to Krishna with the warbling of her birds. All of Yamuna's senses yearned to unite with Krishna. She stretched out the hands of her waves to enjoy the happiness of Krishna's touch. Her red lotus eyes blossomed with joy at the sight of Shyam. Crocodiles appeared as her raised nose, attentive to smell Shyam's fragrance. Her whirlpool ears spun anxiously, waiting to hear Krishna's deep voice and flute song. Krishna, admiring the beauty of the Yamuna, desired to enjoy. Standing up, Shyam moved along the river's bank with his darling gopis. Yamunaji repeatedly offered lotus flowers to their lotus feet with her hand-like waves, as if offering respectful obeisances to them by touching their feet. Krishna delighted with the gopis on the bank of the Yamuna, where the sand was cooling and the wind blowing off the water carried the sweet scent of blossoming lotuses. The banks of the Yamuna looked as white as powdered camphor under the rays of the full moon. The sandy banks were purified by Kalindi's waves and caressed by a lotus-scented breeze. Damodar and his band of lovely gopis strolled here and there, searching for a suitable place to sport. There, on the Yamuna's banks, Govinda began his Raslila in the company of those jewels among women, the faithful gopis, who joyfully linked their arms together. Raslila. This is interesting, in this unfoldment here by Siddha Krishnadas, what we've heard this last few minutes. He's quoting from Bhagavad, he's interconnecting a Bhagavatam verse, and then Govinda Lilamrita, and then Ananda Vrindavan Champu, and then Bhagavatam, you know, back and forth. Each verse fits together to make the beautiful composite flow. It's quite wonderful. Ras Lila. Krishna threw his arms around the gopis and embraced them, thus arousing Cupid and the beautiful young ladies of Braj by touching their hands, hair, thighs, belts, and breasts, by playfully scratching them with his fingernails, and by joking with them, glancing at them, and laughing with them. In this way, Krishna enjoyed his pastimes. Shyam Sundar, spreading his cloud-like effulgence everywhere, rambled on the bank of the Yamuna with the doe-eyed gopis, glowing like stationary lightning. Krishna's earrings swayed, his garland of mandara flowers shone, his waist belt and anklets jingled, and his chatters slipped off his shoulders. With great enthusiasm, Krishna started his ecstatic dancing pastimes with the gopis. Krishna revolved at full speed while resting his arms on the left and right shoulders of two gopis. Then he simultaneously embraced them. Krishna then opened a space between the two gopis and quickly moved behind them. Retracting his arm from one gopi, Krishna used the shoulder of the other one to circle around and face them. Krishna experienced unlimited bliss by rapidly spinning between the pairs of gopis and embracing them. The combination of circling gopis and the singular dark body of Krishna conquered the beauty of brilliant moonlight mixed with darkness. Lightning and storm clouds, champak and blue lotus flowers, and gold combined with sapphires. So Krishna dancing with the gopis, this dark body of Krishna with the golden bodies of the gopis, all these analogies are used. Moonlight and darkness. Darkness is Krishna, the moonlight is the gopis. lightning and storm clouds, monsoon clouds, Krishna, lightning gopis, champak, which is a yellow, there's a golden champak flower, and blue lotus flowers, and gold combined with sapphires. Krishna danced in a small circle around Radha, who stood in the middle of the dancers. Krishna then expanded the circumference of his circle to dance around the rest of the gopis. While enjoying his dancing pastimes, Krishna appeared like two sapphire necklaces, freed from their threads in the jewel box of the circle of gopis. A tumultuous sound arose from the armlets, ankle bells, and waist bells of the gopis as they sported with their beloved Krishna in the circle of the rasa dance. As the gopis sang in praise of Krishna, their feet stomped, their hands gesticulated, and their eyebrows moved with playful smiles. With their braids and belts tied tight, their waist bending, their faces perspiring, their garments on their breasts moving this way and that, and their earrings swinging on their cheeks, Krishna's young consorts shone like streaks of lightning in a mass of clouds. Many singers, drummers, veena and flute players happily performed there. Kartal experts kept the rhythm, the embodiments of the performing arts, and the Upanishads of music attended the Rasleela with smiling faces and looks of astonishment. The best dancers display their expertise in the folk, mixed and pure styles. They exhibited proficiency in all the secrets of music and graceful movements, just as a poet turns ordinary words into songs. There are two types of songs, marga and deshi. There are 34 types of marga with 5 beats, starting with chach-chach-put, and 40 types of deshi songs. The recitation of beats, bol, sounded most attractive. Taiya, taiya, ta-tai-tai, ta-tai-ya, ta-tai-tai-tai-tai, ta-tai-tai, ta-tai, ta-ya, ta-ya, ta-ta-tai, ta-ta-ta-ta, ta-ya, ta-ya, tigara, tigara, ta-ya. Can you repeat that? Following the recitation, the rhythm keepers held kartals in their hands and moved them left and right, up and down, as they sang an attractive new 8th note, although there are only 7 notes in the scale. They played at different speeds, with or without bol. The turbulent sound raised by the drummers hitting the ends of the drums with their hands made their lips and throats quiver like another musical instrument. The female singers glowed attractively as they turned their ears toward the sound of the instruments, which perfectly vibrated the appropriate ragas.